TFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Visit www.CapturedPrey.com for all your import, transformers, and third-party figure needs. And save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. CapturedPrey.com. Mega Toy Fan. Look for Mega Toy Fan at popular toy conventions like BotCon and TFCon, as well as on Facebook at facebook.com/mega.toyfan.
Stars that came here to earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Perceptor here. Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop?
Hello, and welcome to another TFYLP, episode 136. We're going to talk about vintage toys and whatever else comes to our fancy. Tonight, I am joined with Brycey.
Hey.
Duron.
Hello.
Tobias.
Hello, everyone.
Hyung.
Hello, from the world of the future.
The future, that's correct, because he is ahead of time. I'm still waiting for those shoes from Back to the Future and the hoverboard, because you're in the future.
The shoes are supposed to be coming out this year from Nike. They've announced, Nike has announced those shoes.
But not the hoverboard. Not now. I want my shit now. Right now. Right now. Anyway. All right.
Can't always get what you want.
You know what? I've had many, many people tell me that, and I don't see it.
I'm not talking about toys.
Oh, wait a minute!
I don't see that 1984 Lamborghini Countach out in your front driveway. So
hang on one moment. Okay. Anyway, tonight we're going to talk about vintage toys. We're going to talk about collecting. How it impacts your career, your whole social quote unquote status. Is it something that just decimates your life or whatever? And with us tonight, we're going to have a special guest for someone who has taken collecting and has turned it into a career, Travis Landry.
Hey, thank you for having me, Brett, crew. This is going to be a fun night.
Well, I hope you enjoy it. You've had a lot of success in some shows lately. What shows have you been a part of?
Well, I started out actually season one in Toy Hunter. I was just a regular cast member where they came to my house and looked at the toys I had. And then season two, they granted me the opportunity to try to become a co-host. And people loved me, I guess is the best way to say it. And season three, I became a full-time character on the show. And yeah,
I can understand that with the beard and everything. I mean, you give off that Ewok vibe. Everyone loves Ewoks. I mean, come on. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is the beard is actually for my new show, PBS. They were like, we need to have you look 32 years old. That's my character on the show. I kid you not. My character bio for East Coast Antiques and Antiques Alley is a 32-year-old toy collector and dealer.
That's half the cast plus. So, we're okay with that. Go ahead.
And what's funny is on Toy Hunter, they wanted the complete opposite. I needed to be the young apprentice of Jordan Hembro. So to have a complete difference in roles is pretty interesting.
Well, I understand that because, helping out with TFYLP and hosting and everything, you need a more mature. And so I let the facial go, and I said, but then when I do the shows and everything, I have to have a younger look, and I think I pull that off. I mean, everyone knows I pull that off, all right. Yeah, I'm in my 20s, so I can understand that. I can relate. I can relate.
Yeah, it's mostly a credibility thing, you know. People don't want to be getting antique advice from a 12-year-old. So, well, I'm not saying I'm 12, but you know what I'm saying.
I do understand, but yes. All right, so you've been behind the scenes of filming for something that a lot of us hold dearly, and we're not just talking about, you know, our show is primarily Transformers, but collecting in general, whether it be toys, records, you know, whatever.
Oh yeah. So,
and you've projected that further into antiques, correct?
Yes, absolutely. My new show, I don't just talk about toys. I talk about anything from Roseville pottery to 1800s American art. I mean, I talk about it all. So it's a quite large broad of items.
Now, when I'm not going to say that you auditioned for the show, but when you went into this show, did you find yourself having to do a lot of research on certain areas? Because believe it or not, when I heard about your show and what you did and everything, I actually thought about Jeopardy and Alex Trebek. And there's a big, interesting article about Alex Trebek and about how he wants to know more than anyone that's on his show. So he dedicates his life to learning as much as possible about the different scenarios or topics. Have you found yourself doing stuff like that or anything comparable to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always find myself buying new books. I mean, especially even buying old books, because a lot of times when you get into like older antiques, you know, 1700s bronze statues all the way up, they were making reproductions back in the day. So you have to learn how to differentiate, you know, a reproduction from a true original, because, you know, the reproductions they make today of stuff, you could tell they're cheap Chinese knockoffs, just like you could tell some of the Transformers they make. So I always find myself having to learn and just keeping up with the times.
And we'll actually touch on the Transformers aspect of that. I just thought it was kind of neat being in the, I guess, for lack of a better term, business, about learning more than what could possibly come across your plate. And I understand that. Does anyone else have any questions in regards to the actual antiques and the stuff that he deals with at this point? And it goes silent.
I had something right on the tip of my tongue, and then I'm like,
you seen the light bulb go out?
Well, living in Kentucky and everything, there's a lot of antiques in this area. The antique business is quite rampant throughout this state, or Appalachia for all that for that matter. And because you get a lot of, I guess you could consider it like the Cracker Barrel type atmosphere. You know, you go in and see this old stuff everywhere. I know I had a great uncle. He used to have a general store that basically turned into an antique store before he passed away. And just walking through it, I'm as a young kid, I'm like seeing things, old toys. You know, these little metal tractors from like the 30s and 40s that were so fascinating. It's like, you just don't see that stuff anymore.
You don't. And, you know, a lot of the reason why you don't see it actually is, you know, the old cast iron toys for, you know, you hate to say it, but the people that truly appreciated those type of toys have passed on now. So that's why, you know, you see Transformers and stuff like that a lot more in the market, because the demand isn't there for those antique toys. And,
Now, do you think it is a numbers thing that, you know, we're 20 plus years past all right, this is the generation that appreciated that. Go another 20 years, and I don't know, Turtles or whatever will come into play. Or of course, they're doing that now. But you know what I'm saying? Maybe 10 to 15 years. You start seeing trends. Now, trends based on age. Have you noticed that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with everything, it's not even just toys. All collectibles are cyclical. I mean, you look at antique cars, the days of, you know, the Model Ts and going on through the 50s, the Bel Airs, those aren't as hot as what, you know, the 66 GTO, the 71 Plymouth Cuda. Everything across the board is cyclical. It's going to have its hype, and then it has its downward trend just because the demand isn't there anymore.
I agree. And I have – I'm a little unique in that I collect across different spectrums, firearms, guns, this, that, and the other, you know, cars. And I have noticed that a lot of the 60s and 70s of cars, while they were popular, have really, really hyped up. And I think you're correct. I think that everything follows a trend, and it's not just in collecting toys or one specific genre. It's across the board. And I think that with your new show, that you're not specifically, you know, making yourself towards one area like toys or cars or whatever. You're across the board. I think that you're covering a huge area. And I really believe that it is a show that will continue. And I hope that you feel as well.
Yeah, I feel it's going to, because it's not just such a niche audience that wants to watch it. I mean, it covers everything from, you know, 1800s period furniture to 1950s Art Deco to, you know, vintage muscle cars to toys. It covers everything. And the point of the show, which is funny, the premiere was actually tonight at 8:30 for the new season. The point is to educate people and to show that this is what antiques are. And, you know, even toys, they're antiques. Everything 25 years old and plus is an antique. So that's what we hope to do, and that's why we think it'll last.
Awesome, awesome. I do have a question, and it's just because of what you said. Yep. And it is a question towards the show you were on before.
Okay.
But as far as educating people, do you feel that Toy Hunter educated people or more opened people up to that area?
See, with Toy Hunter, the reason why I don't think it was as successful as other shows is because it just opened people up to the area. It didn't actually educate them about any one thing. It was just like, look at Exhibit A, watch me buy it for $200 and sell it for $500. So everyone is just watching the show assuming like, wow, everything that's old is worth money. And it's, you know, it didn't really cover the actual, you know, the behind the scenes about the antique business and buying and selling. And it didn't actually really educate, in my opinion.
Good, good. Well, since you touched on that, I'm going to ask you, and feel free, everyone else, to chime in with their questions or whatever. What goes behind a show of that magnitude? Now, I know that, I mean, I don't know how involved you were in the actual show. I'm going to leave that up to you. But you were a part of the show, and for something that is near and dear to all of us here, as far as collecting, especially Transformers, this, that, and the other, how did that come to play? What were your roles? How do you take a thought about doing a show about collecting or buying in old toys and make that come to fruition? How does that work?
Yep. Well, actually, I was involved on the production end quite a bit, you know, because the producers of the show and everybody else, they don't really know toys. You know, they're there to make great TV. So they would have to look, you know, to myself, Jordan, Steve, to, you know, find out what's a good topic to cover. And basically, you know, you would give them the information and we would seek out people with these collections who would be willing to go on TV. So most of the, when you see us, it's not like we just casted a person to say, here's 500 toys. What you saw on camera was people's actual collections. Now, some pieces here and there along the way, yeah, they were, yes, we found them in one house, but we placed them in a different house to, you know, for the dig. But that's just to help along the way of making great TV.
That was the other question I was going to ask. Now, a lot of people are shaking their heads and ready to go because you've got two sides when it comes to a show of this magnitude. And I use the word magnitude because you're talking about an area where all of us do.
Yeah. You know,
there's not one person here that doesn't go out and try and find that one awesome dig. You found something that's worth $100 and you found it for $5 and you love that. And then you go and you squawk off to your friends and your girlfriends, if you're so inclined, and all that said and the other. So, I mean, I understand all that, but to have a show based on that, you have to set it up. You have to make it to where that happens.
Yeah.
Every, I don't think it was Wednesday night at 9 o'clock or whatever it was, you have to make sure that happens every time.
Yep.
And that includes staging. And unfortunately, you have those that were just really, really against that, that shows a negative aspect of the collecting market, even though we've all done it. So, I mean, my question to you would be, you have staging. You've already admitted to that. We all know that.
Yep.
But the whole reason for the show was for entertainment.
Exactly.
And so with that in mind, tell us when you go to – and I'm trying to remember one of the episodes when you were involved in. You were at Star Wars Celebration, were you not?
I didn't – oh, man, I actually don't remember the exact, but I didn't go to Celebration. I may have been part of that episode going on.
You were a part of that episode to where you were trying to sell a flag.
Oh, yeah, the USS flag. We went to C2E2.
That's it. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, hey, everyone here. I mean, I'm a bit old, but I remember a little bit. Yeah. All right, so there you go.
You probably invented Migos or something.
I did, damn it, and I wish I had a residual. Bam! Anyway, go ahead.
But that C2E2 episode, what's funny is that was actually my first true episode being a co-host. And the way that worked was, you know, a little behind-the-scenes action. The guy we went to his house in Gardner, Massachusetts, had a sealed USS flag. Now, we used it as the prop. You know, we filmed it. We said we bought it, but the truth is we actually already had one from a previous collection that we didn't get to film. And basically the reason why, you know, we didn't bring our own and why we found that guy is logistics. I mean, that's a huge ass toy. So shipping that from New Jersey to Mass, then shipping it from Mass to Chicago, that would have been crazy expensive. And you got to think cost on the production side of television. So it makes sense to, you know, have that small bit staged, but really at the end of the day it's not, because that guy does have that piece and it's really there. It's just that's not the one we actually bought.
Now, well, let me ask this.
Okay.
Does anyone else have any questions at this point?
Come on. Did you actually have any researchers besides you guys?
We based it off of my knowledge, Jordan's knowledge, Steve's knowledge, Dave's knowledge. And anything we did have to look up, I mean, we'd have to look it up because you can't know everything. I mean, it's impossible.
It's not like they had me on the cast.
Yeah.
If they had you in the background, everything would be okay, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so when we had to look something up, we looked it up. But 9 out of 10 times, we knew enough to, you know, make the episode and make it a credible source of information on these toys.
I did watch.
Hang on, I'm getting coffee.
I did watch a YouTube video with Jordan, where the guy that was interviewing him, they were talking about like a couple Batman toys, a Doctor Who toy, and then there was Japanese VSX.
I'm very, very aware of the VSX because that was all my doing.
But the thing is during that clip, Jordan said that if you notice, it says Cybertron and Destron. That's what Optimus Prime and Megatron were called in Japan. I'm sitting there and I'm like, no.
I know. No. I know. And you know.
Wait a minute. Real quick, to preface it, that you had told me once before that they brought you in because of your knowledge.
That's correct.
And you also said before that not everyone knows everything. And while we may know a lot about Transformers, some people may know more about other areas, but not Transformers. So what do? They bring someone in that is more educated in those areas. And I think that's what you said before is why they brought you in. That and your When the first episode where they brought you in, based upon I'm not gonna say your accreditations, but the events that led up to you being on the show.
Yeah, when I was brought in, Jordan, you know, Transformers and Jordan and Steve, that's not their area. They know a lot about 70s, you know, the Star Wars, Mego doll, $6 Million Man. And, you know, being with them, I learned a lot about those toys, but I have a slight fraction of their knowledge. When I came in, I was there for basically the Transformers and for everything Japanese, you know, Jumbo Machinders, a lot of the die-cast Godaikins in the United States. That's really my niche knowledge, and that's where I was able to be an asset for the team on the show.
That's awesome. Real quick, let me just say, hi, Don! How you doing?
Apparently a deer run into a net line somewhere out in the woods because...
Are you sure Massey didn't attack you? And
I'm thinking Massey attacked. And Travis, just so you know, Don has this attack cat that will attack. So if we have technical difficulties, especially on Don's end, it's Massey's fault. So, you know, that's just how it works, and we're okay with that.
Massey's our official mascot.
Don, since you were late to the cast, you know, I'll dock you time later. We have Travis here with he was with Toy Hunter. He's got his new show. And my question to you is, do you have any questions for him?
Well, actually, I was going to ask about the antique show because
outstanding.
That's what I did before I started working regular work. Is my father dealt with furniture. My mother did old furniture. My father did. My mother did Mount Alexander dolls and things of that nature. Depression glass.
Yep.
Glass. I got some pieces of carnival glass myself left from the collection, and I've got some of my father's cut glass that. He's left us now, so his mom.
Yeah.
Is your show going to have, like, a focus on specific, like, are you going to do a salt glaze? Are you going to cover depression glass? Are you going to cover carnival? You know, are you going to do these focus shows so people can see all the different flavors of carnival glass, like Fenton, the new stuff, like Fenton, well, not new, but.
Fenton
and all that.
We just filmed episode 3 and we covered Hobnail. So, oh, I see your reaction. You know what Hobnail?
A Blessed Hobnail. That was one of my. That was I collected a lot of that when I was young. I collected a lot of it when I was younger. It was the marbled glassware. I can't remember the name.
Milk glass.
No, it was a cheaper, not Goofus glass, but I'll think of it later, I'm sure. But you know, I've got some of my parents' old Marx toys.
Oh, absolutely! I got some right here in my Transformers room as well. I mean, I love it all.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely something I want to take a look at because you know it's so hard to find the nice pieces anymore. It'll be nice to see.
Let me grab this. This is like 1936 or 1938 Pan Am. There you go, Don. If that's the type of toys you like.
Oh yeah.
I appreciate all toys. I mean, it's just Transformers is what's near and dear to my heart.
Exactly. But, you know, you've got – but you get a Buddy L, a 1960s, say, a Buddy L tote truck.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's got the ladders on the sides, and it's got the wheelbarrow little holder. You can go up the ramp and lay the and the drums of Coke on the back, you know. It's completely different from what we do, but it's still awesome that they could do these kind of toys.
Which I is actually had some Buddy L toys as a kid.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, what's funny is I was mentioning that to Brett, you know, how collectibles are cyclical. What's sad is those don't really bring the money that they used to, but people still collect them.
Yeah, but you have to remember that anytime something is not in fad, you just got to give it time.
Well, you know,
I've been collecting toys for a while. Not as long as Don, but, you know. But I'm not Nobody as old as Don, but you know who is, you know. But anyway, but you know, and Don will attest to this, where you started out with like G.I. Joe, Transformers, G1, you went to G2, and then all these new, you know, the new series came in, and everyone will tell you that I'm not really into the new series, but you have
awesome.
The it doesn't matter. But my point is. Is all of a sudden G1, G2 starts flipping around. And I've noticed it's about 10 years. About 10 years, everything flips around. And then all of a sudden, you know, G1, G2, we start going through it. Armada, that's neat. As a matter of fact, they even did a rendition of Armada Starscream, if I'm not
Yeah, they did in the Generations line.
Based upon something that was done a while ago. Because it flips and it flips. So you start thinking about it, and you start thinking about the 12-inch G.I. Joes, Mark's Toys, which I actually do know about, Mego Toys. And then all of a sudden, it was right around 10 years, maybe 20, after they came about, that all of a sudden they did reissues. And they did reissues of, like, all the Star Trek Megos. And you're like, holy crap. Anyone that knows about a Mego Romulan and knows how freaking hard that thing is to get.
Oh, yeah.
And the only way you can get it now is by a reissue. And correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't that Diamond Distributing that did that?
Diamond Select Toys, maybe.
Yes. So you're talking about something that was really, really old that all of a sudden everyone's like, holy crap, I can get that. Now, does it have super articulation and blah, blah? No. Does it look like the original? Yes. And we're talking about an original toy from the, what was it, 70s?
Yeah, it should be mid-70s.
So you're talking about...
I remember Mika Romulans going for... At shows, I would see an incomplete Romulan for about $400.
Oh, my God. Just try and find the daggone helmet.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was it. You had the figure and you had the helmet. Everything else was cake, but that helmet. Oh my God!
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
Forever, all our listeners that are looking for the new Transformers, this, that, and the other on our podcast. We're talking about toys and collecting from generation to generation, even from the '60s and '70s.
Yep.
Or the awesome 80s. Who hears for the 80s?
Yeah.
Awesome.
here's some Travis.
Yep.
I could have back in 1996, I was living in Raleigh, North Carolina. And there's a big flea market down there. I could have bought all four American Jumbo Machiners, including Godzilla, with boxes, 95% complete for $500 for the set. And I did not.
Now the question is, are you not kicking yourself in the ass for not doing that now?
Well, I am now, but my rent in 1996 in Raleigh was $505 a month.
So here's how you look at it, all right? Yeah. For those out here who want to know how you can, you know, figure out what you're going to spend, you have toys. Let me put it in focus here. Toys, rent,
right?
Rent, toys. Rent, toys, you know.
Toys.
Yeah. So, I mean, so if you pick the toys, that's wonderful. I hope to keep you warm at night.
Yeah.
But I do understand that. But my point being is that everything cycles. You know, Migos. You can even differentiate between, like, I mean, Dukes of Hazzard, a Battlestar Galactica, you know, Star Wars, which now they got the new film coming, you know, quote unquote coming out. So, I mean, that really, you know, Star Trek, which I'm sorry, it's one of my favorites, and it has kind of dipped down a lot, oh, yeah. but it's still near and dear to my heart. You would not have half the science fiction shows, merchandise, anything without Star Trek. And anyone that doesn't believe that, you know, you're wrong. Absolutely wrong. There's just no way about it. Star Trek really – and the other thing was, is what about conventions? What were the first sci-fi conventions that came out?
Star Trek conventions.
Star Trek. I mean, yeah. I'm sorry. I am a Star Trek. I'm a Trekkie, whatever you want to call it, Trekker or whatever. I don't give a shit. But anyway, it all comes back to the same thing, toys. Why do we collect toys? Why do we figure that something is so worth it that we have to pick it up and hold it near and dear to our heart? And I'm going to ask that out to our Canadian brother, Brycey. Go.
This is where you find out he wasn't paying attention to you.
Put him on
the attention, damn it.
Put him on the
screen. All right, god dang it. Listen, we're in Canuckville. All right, listen. I said
something to
you.
Something to do with it's not snow.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's snow or not, all right? We have snow here, too. We're cold, all right? We're not as cold as you, but we're feeling it, all right? Deal with it. As far as collecting toys, what does that bring you? I mean, I know it brings you joy or whatever, but what kind of connection is that?
Little pieces of childhood when life was easier.
You know, and it's funny. Everyone says that different parts of the world are different or whatever. So far, Canada, United States, it's the same. You're trying to get a part of your life which was simpler, easier, and that you enjoyed. All right.
What about Sweden?
All right. Tobias. That was my next. Tobias. Yep. Tell me.
Excuse me. You're breaking up a lot today. I hope you can hear me.
Is the part in which you talk.
Yeah, but I can hear you. What do I talk about?
Collecting toys. Why? Yeah. Why do you collect toys? What do they do for you?
Well, just like you said, it brings back a lot of memories for me. I started collecting a lot of toys that... that I got rid of over the years that I had when I was a kid and I was fond of. So.
Well, there you go.
That's a big part of it.
Now, I am horrible with names. Is it Hyung?
Hang.
Hang. I always get that wrong. I get God dang it. Anyway, your take on this, and I apologize.
I guess in my childhood, pretty deprived when it came to toys. So I only started collecting when I started working and earning my own money. And for me, it was to get toys that I missed out on in my childhood that I really wanted.
Good, good.
So like one of my first original Transformers that I started buying my own money was G1 Optimus Prime before the reissues.
You know what? This wasn't part of the script, but I think it's very, very important. You said your first Transformer was a G1 Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Duron, what was your first G1 Transformer?
The Constructicon Bone Crusher.
Bone Crusher. Tobias.
My first Transformer, well, that was also a G1 Optimus Prime, actually.
We have two for Prime. All righty. Don, what was your first G1 toy?
Dinobot Sludge.
Oh, you were lucky.
What?
Brycey?
Prowl.
What was your first?
G1 Prowl.
Prowl. Travis, what was your first G1 toy?
G1 Jetfire, which is funny. That was actually also my
Holy crap! You started out right at the top, didn't you?
And what's funny is that was actually my first Transformer of all time. I hadn't even bought, as a kid, a modern-day Transformer. I got Jetfire right out of the blue.
Nice, nice.
I actually got Jetfire for Christmas, and Mom took me back to change it for the Aerial Bot gift set.
The hell were you thinking? Jetfire is the bomb, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
It's like... This is Robotech. I wanted the Aerial Bot gift set.
Well, it's the funny part is... Well, go ahead.
Sorry. It's funny because when I told Dawn I finally completed my loose Superion, Dawn goes, but that's a rubbish combiner. What is that?
I understand. The funny thing is, and I remember this vaguely, I wanted Transformers. I wanted it, and we didn't have any money, and so I went to a flea market, and the very first quote unquote Transformer I got was Cassette Man, which, if anyone knows, is a knockoff of Soundwave.
Yep, with the headphones.
Yes. Now I have proceeded to find there's actually two variations of that, and I have both, and I hold them very near and dear to my heart because my very first Transformer was a knockoff, which I proceeded to destroy. I mean, I destroyed the crap out of the thing. The door that opened, I broke it. One of the arms, this, that, and the other. I mean, but I played with it. Why? Because I loved it. And at the time, that's all we could afford. So when it comes to Transformers, to me, and this is why maybe my view is a little different, I look at it as it was something I really, really enjoyed that I could afford at the time. And while I could only afford the knockoff, it still brought me great joy. And then when I come home from school and see that on TV, I mean, I had Soundwave. It doesn't matter if it came from Taiwan. It was called Sound, Cassette Man or whatever. That was my Soundwave. And I really, really enjoyed that. So getting that was very, very important to me. So when I first went out looking for a Cassette Man, I mean, dude, I'd pay the money. It doesn't matter. My point being is if you have something that you remember from your childhood, it doesn't matter if it's worth X amount of dollars or everyone wants it or if it's a knockoff like I wanted. You're going to pay for it and you're going to want it because it is something that you hold near and dear to your heart. Collecting from that one piece has turned into, I mean, I got a crap load. But if you ask me what I enjoy the most, believe it or not, it's Cassette Man because that's what I remember as my first Transformer.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. What's funny for me is I didn't grow up with G1. I mean, this might sound scary to you guys, but my childhood Transformers was Armada, Energon, Cybertron, like
Unicron trilogy.
Yeah, that was
even Beast Wars.
No,
I love Beast Wars.
Maybe a little bit of Car Robots, like the tail end of it. I was old enough, but when I was introduced to Transformers, it wasn't even as a toy. I mean, when I first bought Jetfire. I had no idea what Transformers was. I mean, I walked into an antique shop with my parents, and I was like, what is that? That is awesome. I have to have it. And, you know,
let's be honest. I mean, the G1 Jetfire was well above what other G1 Transformers were.
And, you know.
So I can understand that. But, I mean, it's one of those toys that have held the test at times. So, yeah. But continue.
And a month later, Christmas morning, there was a G1 Jetfire in the box. And I was
Don't like, you wish you would have kept it sealed?
No, I never played with it. My parents were like, you know, that's an antique. You should just put it on your shelf, put it away. And I did that with everything I bought. And that's why I never really played with any of my toys as a kid. I just kept them and looked at them on a shelf.
So that's why you're reliving your second childhood. I understand that. Yeah, I guess. It's just coming a little later. I got you. I got you.
Now, the question is, out of all of us that talked about our first Transformer that we ever got, how many of us still have that very same toy?
No, I lost mine like 3 weeks later.
I broke the crap out of mine years ago.
No, I still have it. We're all good.
I still have all my original Transformers.
I still have mine, actually.
I have most of mine except the few that I've sold, like some Action Masters.
You sold me your Action Masters.
Huh? Those aren't Transformers anymore.
Yeah,
I have the one.
See,
toy.
Your dreams have become his. How that works?
The one toy I beat to hell as a kid was a Cybertron Hotshot, and I still have that. But it is so gone. I mean, it can't even stand anymore. The knees are so loose.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. My cassette, man, I mean, seriously. I remember the cassette door broke, and yep. It was actually modeling clay. It was very similar to, what's that called, this stuff? This tacky stuff. It was similar to that. And I used that to hold it shut, and one of the hands actually broke off, and I actually used a missile for something and made it. But to be honest with you, I would love to have that back. It's worth nothing, but I would love to have that back because I remember because when I got that, it came with, I want to say, Jaguar, which is Ravage. And those were the two. I mean, I would love to have those back just to relive my childhood. I mean, and they're worth nothing. I mean, they're broken 10 times from Sunday. But I agree with you. To have what you had when you were growing up, I mean, that's awesome. And people will buy toys based upon their what they remember. But if you could go to someone and say, "I have a, I have a Jazz that is broken, broken windshield, broken back, you know, the back windows, everything. It's just broken 10 ways from Sunday. It's horrible. But this is the one you had as a child. You'll pay through the nose to get it.
Yeah,
you will. Absolutely.
I've still got my original Dinobot Grimlock. This sludge. I mean, this. If I undo his, his head barely stands up. But this one is actually my one from my childhood, and I've got a mintier one in the display case back here. But I wouldn't part with this for the world. Why? Because of the mental and the sentimental. This was my favorite Dinobot as a kid, and I love Sludge, and just to be able to pick this thing up, and it's almost like tactile memory. The memories rush back of playing with this as a kid.
And I don't care. Yeah. He's still a Diplodocus. I don't care if he exists or not.
I agree with Daron here, because although I say that Optimus Prime was my first Transformer that I bought with my own money, one of the earliest Transformers I got as a present was Ultra Magnus, and only because my aunts went, "Who do you want, Ultra Magnus or Optimus Prime?" And the old ads say, "Ultra Magnus, the city commander of the Autobots," and I thought he was higher ranked than Optimus Prime, so I wanted Ultra Magnus. And then I got him and found out, oh, no, he's not. But still, I love that Ultra Magnus. It's the blue face one. It doesn't have any paint on the face, but yep. I still love that Ultra Magnus. I still got him.
Now, a couple weeks ago, right around Christmas, I asked a question on the Facebook group about, you know, these modern day updates. For example, like Combiner Wars Firefly here is a modern day update to the Aerobot Fireflight, and this thing's badass. I love this toy. I mean, for all that it does. I mean, Hasbro has outdone themselves on this update. But looking at the generations toys that have been coming out, like you mentioned earlier, the Armada Starscream, To me, even though it's not as big as the original Armada Starscream, I find that toy amazing. I love that toy, and it's a great update to that character. My question that I posed, would you like to see more of the Unicron trilogy, like Armada, Energon, and Cybertron, or for that matter, RID, Beast Wars, any of the other lines afterwards, redone in the Generations type line? I know I mentioned I would love to see a Generations tidal wave from Armada.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I love that toy. That was a phenomenal toy. I wish I could get one now, but you guys saw this. Travis, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, are you thinking like an updated mold of Tidal Wave or just reissuing Tidal Wave?
Well, reissues is one thing, but like the Generations, you know, how they're taking classic characters over the last, say, you know, history of Transformers, and they're basically taking that same character and redoing it. And yeah, it's still the same character.
Oh, yeah, I think that's awesome. Why not give what the collectors want?
What would you what would be one character that you would love to see updated?
Well, they actually just did it. I mean, a masterpiece Starsaber. Like, I love Starsaber. He's one of my favorite characters from G1. And getting that masterpiece figure in a couple months is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I have to admit, some of the pictures that they're showing from I know TF Yuki on Twitter. Some of the photos that he's been posting just have me drooling over that toy.
Oh, I know. It's going to be absolutely awesome.
Absolutely. Any of you guys, other guys, what are your thoughts on updates to the toys?
I'd love to see a six-man Leo Kaiser Combiner Wars.
Oh, yeah. That would be nice.
Since, according to some of the Star Saber threads, Japan isn't G1. So I'm going with that.
Japan isn't G1.
What? Wait, like, are you serious? Is that a serious opinion?
Yeah, there was like rampant people on TFW just going nuts. Like, this is Star Saber's not G1. Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
how is he not G1?
Don't ask. Just ask him the threads and see what happens.
Wow.
Go ahead, Don.
Oh, no. Okay, I would like to see one of my favorite Robots in Disguise figures. I would like to see Fire Convoy.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Generations, because I've got nearly every version of Fire Convoy. I've even got a Dark Fire Convoy. He was the Holy Grail after Art Fire. And I would love to see a Generations version of that toy. In a leader class size, I think that would be just a really great looking piece.
You see, I was going to say Fire Convoy, but I have to admit, I would really like God Jinrai.
Oh,
God Bomber with the Super Jinrai, like as like, either masterpiece or some, or like even a Generations figure, like a Legends figure, I guess, Generations figure. That would be good.
Well, speaking of TF Yuki, wasn't there some sketches of that recently surfaced of a God Jinrai that could possibly be a next masterpiece unveiled?
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I think it's probably to go with the voting, because they had to sketch up all the
options. The designs, yeah, for what they would look like for if they were MP made.
God Jinrai came in what, like second or third, didn't he?
Third, I think.
Yeah, I tell you,
I want to Super Pants more.
I don't know if it'd be feasible or not at the Generations price point. Overlord.
That would be tough. Oh, to actually have the two separate pieces would be crazy. Yeah.
Like a,
see, with them making a Star Saber, I hope they have the foresight to try to design a Victory Leo that would kind of merge with it in the future.
You if mentioned that ever happened. It when they were first showing off the sketches. He said it was designed to incorporate Victory Leo.
That's crazy.
That would be great.
Well, let me
wait a minute. We skipped
move
Tobias.
Along. Let me wait, ask you this much.
Wait a minute. We skipped Tobias.
Tobias, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, they actually updated one of my favorite toys from Generation 1 era already. It's Pyro. But I have to go with Trypticon. That would be cool.
That would be you're hitting towards the top there. Mm-hmm. That would be a very good.
Go
nice
with this
one.
Big guy back here, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. much better
sucks.
Toy.
Let's go with something better.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Here's what I'm going to talk about next. Yeah, let's talk about this. Fans Project. All right. We've got
Fans toys.
All right, whatever. The Perceptor.
People hate me for my opinion on this stuff, but go ahead. All right.
Well, wait a minute. Let's look at this, all right?
Okay.
All right. Let me use a little pointer thingy here. Can you see a little pointer thingy?
Yeah.
Right here. You see this?
Yep.
Awesome. All right. Quake, awesome. See this over here? I don't know. This guy right here. All right. I mean, I'm not a big Perceptor fan, but looks pretty good to me. The both alt modes, and I mean, it looks pretty good. What do you guys thought on that? I mean, does it look pretty good to you?
Want.
It looks good. Really good.
I don't buy the party stuff.
Thank you.
Look, if Hasbro and Takara, blah, 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 whatever, decide that they're not going to make something of this magnitude, me as a consumer, why should I limit myself to branding? Branding of Hasbro, branding of Takara, whatever.
You can't deny that it is the character.
That is Perceptor. Hang on. Wait.
I don't know. I guess I'm just old
hang
school.
On. There, now you can see me. All right. Can you see me? All right. Okay, good.
Go back to the picture. Perceptor. That was better. Go back to the picture.
I will in a minute, but I'm just saying that's Perceptor. All right. Whether you look at it or not, bam. That is your masterpiece Perceptor. That's going to go along with MP10. It's going to go along with Quake. It's going to go along with whatever masterpiece you've decided you want in your collection. That is awesome.
Well, I'd like to hear what Travis has to say about this. What's your? I know what your opinion about third-party toys are, but why do you have those opinions?
You know, I understand their place and that people love them, but personally, I don't buy them. I don't support them. I am a Hasbro Takara old school guy. I don't know. They just don't do anything for me.
How can you look at this, which, by the way, is the second awesome Perceptor? Reflector. Reflector. Look at him. I mean, it is the epitome of what that character should be. How can you look at that and not say that is awesome? Do you really think that Haztac, or whatever you want to call it, is going to come up with something as good as this?
Well,
look, I'm going to say that Travis is right in the sense that
I reckon Travis,
even if Travis looks at it and goes like, it's awesome, Travis,
yes.
And don't it looks awesome, don't get me wrong, I just can't see myself buying it.
Oh, because, I can see me buying it.
Yeah, but you have more money.
It doesn't matter about the money. That to me is the epitome of what reflectors should look like compared to my other masterpiece.
Now, even as recent as TFCon, Aaron Archer did say that if the main companies are not making the characters that people are looking for, if they see a character made by another company that is the representation that they like, they should get it.
Wait a minute. Now, look, I have nothing against Aaron Archer, all right? But am I supposed to go, thank you. Thank you for your recognition.
I know.
Oh, crap.
No.
I am the consumer, all right? Wait a minute.
No.
I am the consumer. And if I like – let me say this. If I like that shit, I'm going to buy that shit.
Exactly.
That's what it comes down to.
What I'm saying is that's what he's saying is if
I don't need his condolence.
Yeah.
Somebody did.
He's just saying that. You
know, permission, I believe, is the word you're looking
for. Whatever. I don't need it. I don't need permission. I don't need whatever. I don't need it. I want to buy something, I'm going to buy it. And I'm sorry, but I think I know we've had him on the show, and I know he's a good guy, and I have nothing against him. But I believe that statement was misspoken by him, because if anyone thinks that we need their permission to buy something, they're full of shit.
It wasn't that. That's not what he was shooting for. I think once he's got out of the Hasbro environment, he saw that there were some niches being filled by the third parties that Hasbro just could not at the time.
But didn't he have City Commander on his desk?
Yeah. the reason I'm saying that is because it's like that Perceptor. I like that Perceptor. Am I going to buy it? No. Because I don't have that much of an attachment to the character to need a better than the G1 version. Click switch.
How can you get better than the G1 version? Come on.
It's a working with a block. Doesn't matter.
But now,
I agree.
But now on the converse side, look at Quick Switch. The G1 toy is absolutely terrible. I'm sorry, it's just awesome. Not a good toy.
Best toy ever.
But I'm saying
this is why none of us listen to you.
Damn! All of you, Nike.
I am going to clone Massey and send each of you a Massey.
Hey, I have an attack hat that can protect me.
I am good. I'm okay. I am okay. Send that cat. That's okay.
But I'm saying, you know, I'm not going to buy the Perceptor. I'm not going to buy the Reflector because those characters are not important to me as needing a better toy in my collection. The Quick Switch, I will be getting that because I want a better version of that character and make
the toys. Let me ask you something.
As a character?
Wait a minute. Let me ask you something.
Six of them as a character.
Who came first?
The chicken or the egg?
The chick? No. Reflector or Devastator? In the
Reflector.
Show.
Reflector.
Reflector.
So was he not the first combiner?
Oh, but technically.
Yes, he was. Yeah. I rest my case. He deserves the status of being masterpiece.
You were saying how, you know, people are attached to characters and they want versions. I'm just saying that for some people, the character attachment is not worth spending the money to get the more recent version. Even though it's a better looking version, they may not want it. But that's a good thing. We are living in basically Transformers Nirvana right now. We've got combiners.
Nobody's got a shotgun, right?
We've got third-party combiners. We've got great masterpieces. We've got new fiction coming out with Robots in Disguise. So, you know, right now we're living in Transformers Nirvana.
That's me.
Holy crap! If she could unmute her mic, she would be alive. unmute your mic.
She looks like she's in Target.
Unmute like your mic. Damn it. She get it? No, she didn't.
No, she muted us.
You know what? Half of our guys, I would too. Unmute.
She looks like she's standing in front of the turtle section.
Yeah, that's a Target. I can tell by the pegs.
I see Transformers now. Now, if only we can hear her.
Everyone,
she's
do this.
Us all the Combiner War stuff, isn't she?
I think I saw some packages. I may have.
She shut herself off.
She said, "Screw you guys, I'm going home." <Come on. laughs> All right, so we'll see what happens with that.
It's a TF.
Don.
Yes.
We have one of our listeners, Scott Holmes, that said you need to mention to Travis about RC. This comes from a listener, so you must do it.
Someone doesn't know?
Wait, what?
It says right here. Have Don ask him about RC.
Okay, what about RC?
I get. Do you like the Generations toy? Have you picked one up?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I like all the Generations toys, but personally, I don't buy retail, so I haven't picked one up. I haven't bought one.
See, then Scott, maybe
did you get the mic muted?
I didn't. I didn't mute it this time. I muted it last time because I thought I could unmute it, and I couldn't find out how to unmute it. So.
Well, that's wonderful. You're wonderful. In front of turtles. You know, shift over or something. Do something.
Well, I was looking at. I can't look at the Transformers this way.
Now yay!
I
have to look at the
tables. I see robots in the sky.
Yeah, there's Rit up here. Both the, I guess, what would be the Deluxes and what would be the Legion class.
They're $14.99.
I know it's not pretty.
Yeah,
is that just all the prices?
I'm not seeing any Combiner Wars.
Oh, and Tobias is laughing at us like $16.99.
Yeah.
Hangs broke half an hour. I think they were up $30.
Yeah, I remember complaining. I was telling John, holy shit, that's like $25. What do you mean you're paying $12.99 for that?
I like this section right here.
Robot Hero!
Robot Hero!
Yay! Rescue bots!
It's a TFYLP.
We are getting a lot of echo.
We're getting a lot of echo.
Tons of echo.
We're all trapped.
Are you able to mute your mic back and forth pretty easily?
This is the great day of. Oh,
look at that. Look at that. I have the power! Yeah! All right. All right. You are saying anyone.
Oh, just silenced everyone. It's your fault.
Holy crap! We need to talk about something. So. Anywho.
We're talking about RC from Dawn.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Dawn. You were commanded to talk about RC. Well, Travis.
I want to explain to Travis. For several years at BotCon, Travis, I've been to all the BotCons but one.
Show off.
No, a frame of reference.
sorry.
And for many years, I was asking for a Headmaster RC. And I became known in the fandom as Headmaster Don. So that's probably why Scott wanted me to ask about the RC figure, because that's a character that's near and dear to my heart. I like the figure. I'm happy with it. Now, Takara, about that Masterpiece RC I've been thinking about lately. We need to talk.
You might want to learn Japanese.
Yeah. But,
no, you know, that's why he contacts me.
Yes.
There you go. But Travis, if you get a chance to get the RC figure, I think you would enjoy having it if you get a chance to pick one up.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't bought a new retail figure other than Masterpiece excluded since Dark of the Moon. I bought the Leader Ironhide. That's like it.
I was gonna say you have a lot of modern behind you.
Yeah, this is my room for Beast Wars and up. This is the modern area. It's like where I can get the best lighting for you guys.
Well, I got a good question I think for you, and it goes back to what we were talking about before. You know how everything seems to flip every 10 years.
Yeah.
How do you see the collector market, given how toys are doing today? You know, like we got the new Transformers Robots in Disguise, I guess RID2, that's getting ready to start airing soon. The toys are already hitting the shelves. We just got done with Age of Extinction toys, which honestly, I don't think they did that well. I mean, how do you see the collector market surviving? I mean, eventually we in our age range in the 20, 30, 40 somethings are going to get to the age where we just don't collect as much. And our generation of toys are going to be more forgotten, like the old iron cast toys and everything. Do you see today's kids becoming the same kind of collectors that we are? What would fuel them for Transformers specifically?
I do see today's kids wanting to buy back their Transformers, but the problem, well, it's not going to be their problem. It's actually going to be their benefit. But our problem when we go to sell it is I'd like to call it a like Phantom Menace disease, where it's like, you know, when Phantom Menace came out, everybody who was a Star Wars collector went out and was like, I'm going to buy five, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobis, seal that card, hoard them away, and they're going to be worth tons of money. And the problem is, you know, because you have your current collectors that live through G1 that buy the modern, if we all keep storing and hoarding, the value isn't going to be like what the G1, you know, demands today.
Well, yes, but there was another thing involved in that, because I looked into that in some great detail. And not only did you have, I don't know, Mace Windu, Obi-Wan, I mean, you name it. But then the next year, they came out with a better version, or they re-released it. And that's what killed the collector market on that. Yes, you had a lot of people that said, oh, I'm going to sock this away and I'm going to make a lot of money. But you also had the company at that time going, I can sell the same thing under a different banner, re-release it, and some person will buy it. So that knocked the collector value down. So you have a different, market. You have a totally different market based upon the supply that was issued.
Well, I mean,
I do agree with you. Yep. I think there was more to it than that.
Well, Hasbro also does the same thing. I mean, how many times have they released the Seekers? And how many times? I mean, just like the movie Bumblebee.
Well, you made something that was interesting. Also, you're talking about the classic Seekers, and as everyone here will remember the Bakon set with the Seekers, and everyone said, "Oh my God, I gotta get it! That's the only way I'm gonna get those Seekers." And then what did they do?
Better versions.
Yeah.
They made better versions. And then screw everyone else that paid top dollars and threw the nose for that.
Because, I mean,
that was the first time everyone went, hey,
yeah.
Well, now, granted, it did take several years to get all three of the other Seekers in different decos, because I can see their point of view. How else would they be able to send three of the same mold that has already been a part of several assortments without spacing them again over the course of several years? So
it doesn't matter. You are detracting from the value of that particular item by re-releasing it. Everyone betted, because it hadn't happened. I mean, think about it. It hadn't happened until that point to where they re-released something that was very, very rare, very hard to get. And then, bam, mass release, it screwed what everyone else bought. And that was the first time everyone went, I really need to take, you know, heed to what I buy, because they might re-release it. And then they did it again, just, I'm not going to say most recently, but let's just say MP10. You know, you had the Takara one. Everyone bought that out the nose. Or the Masterpiece Soundwave. Everyone bought that out the nose, and then all of a sudden, you know, Toys R Us gets it with all four cassettes.
Yep.
Screw you. Here it is cheaper. So that's the type of market we're in. So people are being more cautious with their money than they were before.
Well, I think go ahead.
I was just going to say my concern was with the new generation of kids is that I'm recently separated, but my ex had an 8-year-old daughter, and I looked at her as an example, because that child cared absolutely nothing about toys. toys meant nothing to her, and she never really had any. It was always a tablet, a television, a computer screen, and watching videos on it. She didn't care about physically picking up a toy and playing with it. And it was always, I found that so odd from a child. But the thing is I hear that's actually quite common today. And it actually kind of scares me. And that was my main concern in my previous question. Do you see the same issue or?
Well, I think what's going to happen is whatever kids are playing with, I mean, a tablet, I don't, you know, you and I, we don't see that being collectible, but would you ever picture an old Nintendo when you were a kid being collectible?
I just sold mine for $200. So yeah.
Good point.
It's whatever they had as a kid, they're going to want it when they're older, whether it's a Barbie doll, a Transformer, or, you know, a tablet. I mean, I myself would never say one day, man, I really want to get my first generation iPad back. But who knows, a kid might want to do that. You can't predict what's collectible. That's why, you know, don't worry about the future. Just collect what you like. I think that's the best mindset to go about it, because you can't predict.
And one thing to keep in mind is that toys today are produced at a much accelerated rate in quantity versus what I had growing up versus the earlier stuff that I mentioned to Travis about that my mom and dad collected. That stuff was played with for several years, and then, you know, it was, you know, destroyed or tore up or given away or sold or whatever the case may be. That's where your value comes from, not just you're buying what you want, but also the amount of that figure that's available. Because you just can't go out and buy a Marx 1950s Coca-Cola truck.
Yeah.
And it's like today's toys are produced in such volume, there's going to be a lot more and a lot better shape on down the road, but there still will be your high-end stuff that will be harder to get in good shape.
Well, that's why I could see the, the U.S. masterpiece stuff down the road being collectible, because, you know, your average parent doesn't want to drop, you know, $70, $80 on, you know, on one toy for their 5 or 6 year old. So, you know, that's the same thing like Brett mentioned when he was a kid, you know, he couldn't afford to get the Ford Max. So it's the same thing. If you couldn't afford to get the masterpiece Grimlock as a kid for $89.99 or whatever they went for, I mean, that's how much they were around here, you're going to want to buy that back. So, and they produce them in a lot less quantity, I'd imagine. I mean, you walk into Toys R Us, what, you see maybe 1 to 2 each of the masterpiece when they're released. That's what I get in my area. I don't know if you guys experience, but.
Well, the reason for that is scalpers. They're going into the stores as soon as the store opens and buying 3 and 4 at a time to scalp on eBay. And at least that's what I've been seeing in my area.
Yeah, like I
don't find anything new. That's for sure.
No, and I'm waiting for the Year of the Goat Soundwave. That thing looks cool.
Yeah,
that does.
Soundwave. Nobody wants the Prime, and I'd much rather have the Prime.
I want them both. I want them both.
I do. Actually. I want them both.
Yeah, the masterpiece and whatnot. I usually try to buy 2 of each. You know, just to sit on.
Now, well, I forgot my question. Go ahead, Britt.
All right. So, my I'm going to go into a personal aspect.
Okay.
Chill out. It's okay.
Are we old enough?
Believe it or not, even one such as myself, who is immortal and ever living, has a birthday.
So you're mom wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm okay with that as long as I get to live forever. I'm good.
And it shall be evil.
All right.
Transform his decayed form.
So, gosh. Anyway, so I had a recent birthday, and my significant other, she decided to get me something. If you happen to have a wife who knows you as well as I do, I got this.
Ooh.
I got the Hulk number 340.
Very nice.
Graded. 8.5. Now, very, very near and dear to my heart because I, you know, 181, I wasn't around for that one, which was the first appearance of Wolverine. And then they actually did a second one with the Gray Hulk and the brown costume Wolverine. So I was really wanting this one. So I got this for my birthday. So, I mean, whatever you want. I don't care. It's mine now. So my point is, other than that, I have something that you don't, is your significant other. Let them know. Let them know what you want, and you'll get surprised like I did. So I have one. Anyway.
I always told my significant other and always got socks.
I was told there's no socks in present.
Here's what I was told, okay? When I took a psychology class back in the, medieval times when I was in college, they said that if you asked for something, it was part of your what you were needing, of course. And if you were asking for socks, that means that you had dirty, stinky socks.
No, so, I didn't ask for socks. I just got them.
Exactly. So what does that mean? Transfer it around there. It means that you had dirty, stinky feet, and she said, you need socks. So, you ever get underwear for your birthday, wash your ass. It's all I'm going to say. All right? I'm going to be blunt.
So what you're saying is that I have swamp ass.
You might have swamp ass or swamp feet, whatever. If you're getting socks and underwear, take a shower. You know, wash your ass. I mean,
all right, I'll go right now.
There we go. All right, but anyway, and by the way, that was our that wouldn't be public safety or whatever. It's just, you know, it's just a proper way to be. You know, just be that way. And we will actually integrate this into the when you go to a convention about washing your ass and the stinkiness and everything. We can put that right into it, and we already did that, so you know about that. So, in any case,
I got a question. What about what do you think about the collectability of convention exclusives?
Yeah, that's a great question. That BotCon, they did it right for the collectors in the beginning, and now they're doing it right for themselves because they're producing more than what the demand is, especially for for the resale value. Because what? There hasn't been an extremely valuable set since Shattered Glass, and I believe that was the year they had a production issue where they produced less sets than what was originally planned for, and they had to sell the 05 set as a backup, correct? Wasn't that what happened?
Correct. Oh, wait.
Yeah, that's my favorite set, too. That's awesome. That's the bomb. But now they produce, what did they produce last year? 2,000? 25? How many did they?
I don't know if. There's a website you can go on where they'll talk about it, but for the most part, they never really say how many they've produced of any set. Well, and I think part of the reason is because what you're talking about.
Well, no, on the certificate, doesn't it say like you have – like I know for Shattered Glass, it says like you have one of 1,200 sets or something like that. On the, you know how you get the certificate of authenticity?
Right, but I don't know if it says that anymore.
Oh, really? I
don't know.
Brett, this is actually going to be going back to my first BotCon since 2009. I had switched it up and went to TFCon for a bit, so I'm excited. So I didn't know they stopped doing that.
I don't quote me because I can't remember, and I don't have any of them nearby where I could check. But I do remember that the numbers were never released of how many. But there was a guy called. Oh, shit. He's on TFW.
GB Blackrock?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, GB. And he has a website to where he lists all the production numbers. Now, how he gets this, I don't know. But I don't think it's on a certificate.
Hmm.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah, but.
You're correct. They do tend to make more than they did before.
I mean, you can still go into the club store and buy last year's set, and even 2 years ago, you can still buy the Machine Wars set, even though...
Well, also look into the account of the theme and the popularity of each theme. They're hit or miss. You're talking about a couple of people that make the theme for that based upon what everyone else wants. So it's hit or miss. It really is. And while Shattered Glass was probably one of the best, I mean, it marks right up there with the pre-Beast Wars. What was it called? Dawn of Futures Past.
Yep. Yeah.
Both of those two. And here's where I go back to what I said before. The Games of Deception, which was right in the middle, 07, was also a big hitter until they re-released those figures in better forms.
Yeah, because what's funny is 07 was my first BotCon I went to, and it was because it was in Providence. I went as public admission, so I wasn't able to get the set. And I remember going home, they were going for like $1,200. And now you can get one. I always monitor them, and the last one sold for $360 2 weeks before Christmas.
Yep. Now, granted, that seems a little low, but I still think $450, which considered $1,200, that is a considerable loss.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Shattered Glass...
based that all upon the fact that they re-released them.
Yeah. And I think Shattered Glass is still the most valuable, right?
I don't know. That one is kind of tied with Dawns of Future Past. Depends on who's really looking for what. The pre-Beast Wars figures are still very popular until they re-release them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you do see them generally holding a higher value than, say, a general release toy?
Yeah, I do, because it's so limited, especially the older BotCon exclusives, like the 95 Night Racer, the 94 Break. Well, the 94 Breakdown's questionable right now, but there's the 95 Night Racer and the 96, especially like the Fractal and Rack Pack set. That's an awesome exclusive I'd like to find. I see those always holding the premium value they bring.
Sure, sure. Well, but you're talking about something that was before they actually considered it to be very, very collectible, and they limited the numbers, which is what you talked about before, limiting the numbers.
Yeah.
But, all right, my next question is going to be G1, which can float into Japanese or what have you. Anything pre-G2, what's your favorite? What's your favorite? And I'm going to start on my screen from left to right, and I'm going to go with Mr. Mute, Brycey.
Single toy.
I said single.
All right. I'll go with this guy. Definitely my favorite single release.
And for those that are listening.
Overlord.
There you go. A G1 Overlord. And why? Why? Why would you consider him to be your favorite?
He's a Power Master. It's my favorite subclass.
You actually like that Power Master crappy gimmick, right? Better than the Target Master or the Headmaster. You were all about the Power Master.
Well, it's Brain Master all the way, but keep going.
Shut up. Anyway, he had boobs that popped off and became guys, all right? Let's be honest here.
Two vehicle mode, space mode, imposing robot mode.
And you don't think the fact that he's incredibly hard to get and most sought after and very expensive has anything whatsoever to do with the fact that you like him?
No.
Good enough. All right. Screw you. Don, go next.
Okay, probably along the same lines of Brycey, but I'm going to go with Fortress Maximus.
Ooh, okay. Do you think that the Encore version had anything to do with the fact of you liking it or disliking it now that everyone and their mother, and, you know, anyone's mother can have it, has one?
I'm glad they reissued that figure. Now, I didn't pick one up. I have my original Fortress Maximus, Brave Max, and Grand Max. I've got my originals. But everyone needs that mold. And at the price the Encore was, I'm glad everybody was able to finally get that mold and enjoy it for what it is. But I'm a big Headmaster fan. Obviously, everyone knows that. And that was just the one that I wanted the most when I was younger, being 16, 17, 18 at the time. But that's probably my favorite G1 figure just because he's just a great – he's a brick, but he's a wonderful brick.
You're correct. I agree 100%. Natsume, can you unmute your mic and go?
Yay, I did a thing. You guys can hear me now?
Yes.
Hopefully my internet's not too bad. Yay.
She's saying – Megamus is the best. I love him so much. He does so much for the community. I can understand her. I can lip read. I got this.
Did her internet just die on us?
Okay.
I think she did.
I think there's a lag is what it is.
Yeah.
I like my answer better. Tobias, you're up.
Yeah. Well, you didn't give her a chance.
She'll come back. We'll come back to her. She just died. She's gone. Right? Sherry said I was the best. What more do you need? Tobias, go. I'm in charge here. Damn it. Go.
Okay. Well, my favorite, as I mentioned before, is really Pyro. It's an Obliterator. What's it called?
Obliterator.
Sucks.
Yeah. 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 I actually kind of like the name, but, you know, whatever, good.
Yeah, I like it because it's an emergency truck designed for airports. So, yeah, I had a feeling
really
for
that. So the fact that it is made of GPS plastic and breaks apart very easily and very little of them are made in the world, you still like it because...
Yeah, it's because of a GPS.
I agree with you. Wait till you hear mine, because I'm going to be honest. But go ahead.
But wait for it. When I had this toy initially, I transformed it numerous times, and I still got the original toy, as a matter of fact. But when I got aware of GPS, and everybody showed pictures and videos of Goplastic Syndrome, that Beast Wars toy that crackled in someone's hands.
Probably would have been the Transmetal Megatron
or Razor Beast.
Razor Beast.
And since then, I haven't transformed Pyro, sadly. But
I got one recently.
I got lucky.
Well, good enough. All right.
Excuse me, what did you say, Bryson?
I got Pyro recently. I think I transformed him like 10 times before I put him on the shelf. It was nerve-wracking.
Yeah, but no one really cares about you, so, I mean...
Yeah, shut up. No one cares about you either.
They just don't. Hang?
I don't know. I guess my favorite would be Super Jinrai. Now, I'm not saying God Jinrai, because I think the God Bomb is a rubbish toy. But,
That was kind of neat. The transformation was kind of neat.
Well, it basically just became platform shoes for.
Doesn't matter. It's still combined with him.
The prototype is so much better. The prototype.
I mean, look at it. Whoa! Look at it. You're talking about an existing toy. Now, whether or not they made it this way or not, but the way we looked at it, it was an existing toy, and they added something to it that made it better. So, I mean, that was the first time, in my opinion, that you were looking at an add-on kit. Yes or no? I mean, that's basically what he was. He was an add-on kit. Now, in Japan, maybe they sold them both together from the beginning, but we never got that. We always had Power Master Prime, and then this one came later.
No, that's fair enough, I guess.
It's just a different way of looking at it. Now, from your perspective, it was – did they come together? Were they both – initially released together, or was it
Power Master,
and then afterwards?
Because at the time of Master Force, or when I saw the toys, I was still living in Singapore, and Power Master Optimus Prime arrived about a year before Super Jinrai arrived. But the cartoon had been dubbed in English, and I think people know about that infamous
terrible,
dub.
Terrible thing.
The star dubs.
Yeah. Oh, so
well, but you're still you were basically the same way we were. Power Master Prime came first, and then this set with, and it is, it's a kit. It was another character that added to it, but came later. Correct?
Yeah. Well, okay. So I guess to put it was because in Singapore we got both the American and the Japanese stuff, and I still kick myself for not getting Minervo, but never mind.
Yeah, they sell.
At retail, could have gotten her at retail. Anyway, Super Jinrai and God Bomber came, was sold separately. It wasn't sold in a set that I'd seen when I was a child. So when I got Super Jinrai, I guess getting him later, I found him so much better than Power Optimus Prime in the sense that the mold had been improved, like with the extended arms, and he felt more solid. I don't know what it was, but it felt like Power Master Optimus Prime felt cheaper plastic-wise.
Well, it was. You're correct. And as Bryce had pointed out, you went from plastic to die-cast. So there was better. There was more and I remember that the eyes were different. And were there some different paint apps, too?
Yeah,
the paint apps. The windows, that's right. So, I mean, it was a better quality figure, but it also included the Genrai or add-on, whatever you call it, to make
it. Bomber came separate, or
was it?
Yeah,
or did the gift set come first?
I bought the re-release. I didn't get God Bomber until I bought the re-release. Of,
so the individual sets came first? I always thought that the gift set came
time.
First.
Well, I know because in Japan, Super Jinrai came out first, and then God Bomber came out as its own figure. And then subsequently, gotcha. as they would do afterwards, they had the combined kits, which is what happened with Victory Saber, when you think about it. So Star Saber came out because he
was
the main character.
So wait a minute, real quick, just because you said that. So you're telling me that Victory Saber came out as a gift set first?
And no, after. Way afterwards. No. So Star
the individuals
Saber
came first.
Yes, definitely. Because
okay. That's what I thought. That's what I thought, but I wanted to make sure. I thought the individuals came first and the gift set came later.
Because the add-on robot never gets released until midway of the cartoon series. So not to reveal it too early, they don't release it till a month at retail before the episodes air, generally, which is what Japan always seems to do. So that was pretty normal.
Gotcha. Duran, favorite?
My favorite? Well, I have a lot of favorites. And
no, I don't mean sexual. I mean toys. And I mean by toys, I mean Transformers.
Well, I have a lot of favorites that I don't currently own. But I've either owned at one point or another. I'd say if I had to say a figure that I love the most that I don't currently own would have to be Deathsaurus. I did own one at one time, but I don't currently now. But out of the ones that I do own, I would have to say this guy. This is a Blue Ear Cyclonus. Can't really tell on the screen there, but yeah. There was a few that was released with this area right here was actually painted blue instead of purple, like on
in the waist.
Yes, in the waist. But I really dig this guy. He's interesting design, and if I had to choose one that I own, it would be him, or probably this guy. This is one of the best molds in Transformer history, in my opinion.
I agree with her on that.
The G2 Laser Optimus Prime.
I absolutely agree with that, especially where you got it from.
Yeah. Megatoyfan.com.
That's right. Yeah. Anyway.
And we also need to mention our other sponsor, CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturePrey.com.
All right. And I was going to go to a resident homosexual truck driver, Chad, but I'm going to forego him altogether. I'm just going to forego him.
I'll let him
go back to, No.
Hey, this is coming from a douchebag.
Not screw that. That's a mate. Come on. You're back now. We were going to ask you what your favorite G1 Transformer was, if she can do it.
Nope.
Otherwise, we got to listen to Chad. Yeah!
Go. I can do this.
Yes!
All right. So my favorite Transformer, it's probably a fairly close toss-up between the Human Alliance Barricade and the Human Alliance Soundwave. But I want to say Barricade is probably it.
We were going for G1, but we'll take it. You know, Barricade.
That's the problem is I don't have, like...
Say camshaft.
Damn.
Oh, she left.
All right. We'll take it. That's good. Oh, God. I guess, Chad. Go ahead.
Sludge. That's it.
You know?
There you go,
it's
Chad.
It's a good call. You know, I actually would have expected that from you, someone who is big, slow, dim-witted. You know, I would have expected all that from you. You do not disappoint, so I got you. Moving right along, I decided – well, wait a minute. We didn't go with our guest. Travis.
Yep. My favorite G1 piece of all time would have to be my Browning. I don't know if you guys could see that right there. He's just awesome in my opinion.
Did you say Browning or Brown Eye?
Browning. Brown.
Okay, good. Right there. That's good. Because you
AFA
just
graded.
You got Chad horny. So I mean, don't do that.
Now, what if AFA grading do you have on that guy?
He came back in 85.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I was stoked with that grade. But his character in the cartoon is just awesome. I mean, you know, he's so small, and he turns into a personal handgun for cancer, right?
Yeah.
And just the fact, you know, he shoots the little bullets. I mean, I can't play with him. He's sealed in plastic, but it's just a cool toy.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, just as a side tangent, Browning could really use a reissue because that is a nice toy, and a lot of folks really can't swing.
Well, I've messed with the knockoff, and the knockoff, I liked it.
Well, that company that came out there when they reproduced it, it made it available to a lot of people, and a lot of people got to see it, and it was really, really close in quality. And I was really impressed with that. So if you missed out on that, they still show up from time to time on eBay. They're not that bad. They're usually around $50-$60. It's not a bad figure. But my pick would be...
Not that anybody cares. Well, let's see here. Let's go back to Chad and talk to Chad some more.
Not that anyone would care, but this little guy right here.
Oh.
Black Zarek.
Black Zarek.
That is on my list, too.
And I'm going to be 100% honest. And yes, any black repaint, awesome. Scorponok, awesome mold. Black repaint, even better. But the fact that the GPS makes him even more rare and more wanted, oh, yeah, I'm all over that. I love that aspect. You know, the simple fact that if I drop this guy, he's going to shatter into 100 pieces, love that. Not to say that it's horrible, but it makes him even more rare. And, yes, I'm sorry. I'm the guy that I look at it as, which one's going to be worth most? Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm that guy.
Yeah, but
I love the character, but that just makes it even more. Hate me.
Brett's the guy that goes around the toy shows and finds all the Japanese car razor beasts and just crushes them to a fine powder and then walks away as it slowly drifts out of his hands.
It's like, negative Ghost Rider. I'm the guy that buys them all. There's a difference. Anyway, use your head. Anyway, no, honestly, the character is a good character. It's a great character. I'm sorry, but you take a nice mold like Scorponok, you put it in black and gold. It's got the extra pieces. It's got the shield. It's got the spear. It's total win. Yeah. It's just a great character. It is. It's just unfortunate that it succumbs to GPS. And as we've already found out, a lot of characters, GPS, and I've got one right here. Does it mean that I like G2 Slingshot any better? No. But
it'd be
we all
funny
know
if it just crumbled
that if I transform right this little guy, he's going to be a little powder when I'm done. It is what it is. Black Zarak, just an awesome figure, in my opinion. I loved it. It was a the character and everything was awesome.
Yeah, he's on my list. Hopefully I find one at BotCon this year.
Just make sure you don't shake the box.
Yeah.
Is he in there? Is he there?
Oh. Dude, that's not rocks and sand.
I remember at 2013 BotCon, somebody had made a custom box for Black Zarak. I took a photo of that, posted it on Facebook, and said, "The closest I'll ever be to a blaster."
Yeah, the funny thing is everyone thought I was crazy, but I bought this guy boxed, and I transformed him, and I actually transformed. It's not called Fast Tracks, isn't there another Gold name for it?
Guardminder. Guardminder.
I've got something with
okay.
Him. Yeah.
I transformed him, and everyone said I was crazy. It'll break. And I did transform it, but it took me every bit of a half hour to transform it. Just very slow, very meticulous, and now he's done. That's the way he stays. Screw it. I ain't messing with him. And when I'm done with this show, he'll go right back. Hang on a second. Lower. Right there in that display case, and he'll sit there right next to Grand Max, and it won't be touched. Because, yes, I know that as soon as I try and transform him again, it's a shatter. Yes, and they're notorious for that.
Now, I got a question for Travis. This is very Transformer specific.
Okay.
What do you see, having done your travels with Toy Hunter and everything, what do you see that stands out about the Transformers collector fandom? That you really don't see anywhere else. Is there anything at all?
Well, the big thing is the dedication. I mean, you can't name too many other franchises of toys other than, you know, Star Wars that have such a huge following, multiple conventions across the world, a multi-million-dollar blockbuster franchise, even though, you know, Michael Bay. I mean, not much you can do about that, but...
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
But, I mean, there's so... Everywhere you go, it's Transformers. And that's because they hold such a presence in the world when it comes to toys and entertainment, video games, and everything in between. That's why I think we'll always have such a following.
I agree. I was going to say, all the way up until when you start talking about the conventions, because G.I. Joe has a huge following also. But how many other conventions do you know of that are G.I. Joe related other than like JoeCon or there's a AtlantaCon? There's just not that many.
No,
now, you go with Transformers and every year more pop up. So yeah. It's what's popular, you're correct. There are more. And we've had this discussion before, but even Fun Publications, who does both JoeCon and BotCon, I mean, let's face it, they know which way their butter is breaded. So they know one way or the other. And they're gonna go with BotCon. That's where the money is.
Yep.
So
because I remember when I went to JoeCon when it came to Providence, I don't know if it was like 2011 or 2012, whatever year, it was just, it's a total different caliber. I mean, BotCon is so many levels above JoeCon. for the amount of money they invest and the time they put into it, in my opinion.
It may rightfully be so. You're going to invest more money where you're going to get more money back.
Yep.
But I personally have also noticed, because I've been to a couple of JoeCons, is for those that have never been to one, you need to go to one. You really do. For the especially those that, and I'm just going to say it, you know, as a blanket statement, for those that really put down fun publications for the dedication and the work that they put into BotCon, you need to go to JoeCon, because JoeCon is more of a – it's personal. It's more personal. I don't know how else to explain it. You're going to see a lot of things at JoeCon that you're not going to see at BotCon. There's less people at JoeCon. It's easier to organize. So,
well, you also have,
you're going to see them at their best. You really are. And a lot of people are going to say that it's because they like Joe's better than Bot, you know, Transformers, whatever. It doesn't matter. You're talking about a company that runs a convention. You're going to see two different conventions ran two different ways. And it will help you appreciate it. It really will, especially when you take a smaller convention. And no offense to our Joe followers, JoeCon is a smaller convention, and how they run that, and then they have to run a BotCon, a bigger convention. You appreciate it, and I do, because I've seen both sides of it, and it really is a neat experience.
Definitely.
Silence. I talked about Joe's. Everyone's like
no, you made a very valid point. I was shocked and amazed at that point.
Shut up.
but with Joe getting a new brand designer announced, we're all hoping for good, cuz I mentioned this on RFC on Wednesday, that right now all of our Joe friends are going through basically hell right now. Their anniversary.
What's going on with G.I. Joe anyway?
Well, the brand group was disassembled. The anniversary figures came out late, barely. A lot of them are hard to find. They're going through what we went through there for a while, just
before the first movie.
Probably so, because, I mean, because
if you think about it, before the first movie, it was sporadic how we got stuff.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they have a Joe movie, and then they started, you know, quote-unquote, puking the stuff out. But I've noticed, like, the subscription figures, there's a lot of them that are and I like Joe's, too. There's a lot of them that are really, really enticing, very good. So they are trying to fill in those gaps, even though Hasbro is not producing the figures that you want to see. So I think the subscription service is helping fill that void. Even though I believe what you're saying is true, there's going to be a lag. There's going to be a lag in production. There's going to be a lag in a lot of things. Am I not correct in that there's not – is there a movie scheduled? Is there even a movie scheduled at this point?
I don't know.
That second movie was pretty bad.
The whole idea is that, and as much as people don't like, you know, Dark of the Moon, Revenge of the Fallen, whatever, it helped fuel.
Oh yeah,
brand.
Yeah, we would not have all of these generation years. I mean, we got a Black Shadow homage in Generations.
Right. Let me put you this. This little guy right here, which a lot of people love, whatever, never, ever would have gotten this. Let me get in focus. Never would have gotten this if it wouldn't have been for the movies.
And that's Generation Brainstorm.
Generation Brainstorm, simply because it's an obscure character. We never would have got it had the movies not come out. All the third-party hoopla, all these things would not have happened without those movies. No one could convince me otherwise. I just don't see it happening. So with Joe's, you're following the same suit. They need a movie to help fuel the necessity for new figures.
But they had two movies.
Yeah, but I mean, who here can say that Transformers 07, Revenge of the Fallen, Dark of the Moon, all those were great movies. There was nothing wrong with them. No one can say that. So there's flaws with every one. It just so happens that the two Joe movies had a lot more flaws than ours. It doesn't matter. It just, you know, beside the point. Hey, they had The Rock. Rock's good.
I've got another question for Travis. You are a big fan of Japanese Transformers and Japanese toys in general, correct?
Yep.
What are your thoughts on the Yusha Brave series? Do you have any?
You like Takara Brave, you mean?
Yeah. Like, well, this is a Kabaya set, but this is a Might Gain. I don't know if you're familiar with them or
I had no idea those existed. I mean, I love Takara Brave. I collect them myself. I had no idea they made Brave Kabaya kits. I'm not really up to speed in that department, you could say. But I don't know. I mean, the Kabaya kits are kind of cool. Brett knows this. Back in the summer, I just had like a shipping case of the Star Saber Henke Convoy Wave, and that was my first exposure to Kabaya kits. Yeah, they're neat. I don't recommend eating the gum in them, but
I like vanilla.
You like the banana? What is it? Banana gum?
I thought it was vanilla. It might have been.
I thought it was mango.
It wasn't mango. I can tell you that.
Well, there's one that was mango.
Maybe yours turned or something. I don't know.
Dark side gum.
No, but you know the Brave series. Now, let me ask you this, and those that know Brave more than I do, which is just about anyone, did they take the designs from Transformers, or did Transformers, Takara, whatever, take the designs from Brave? Which one came first?
Oh, Transformers first, because
Transformers easily.
Yeah, because Red Geist. I mean, that's Death or Deseris, just without one of the breast components, right? He only comes with one.
Without the butt component, it had the lion one.
Yeah,
yeah, but that one, but Deathsaurus came first.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you know as well as I do that, like other lines, like with Omega Supreme, Shockwave, even Jetfire, those were released in different lines first.
Yep.
And then later released in Transformer line.
Yeah, Omega Supreme was from Converters. I mean.
It came out from Toy Box.
Yep.
There were also concepts that was actually first seen in the Brave series that was brought into Transformer series later on. For example, the symmetrical dockers. I know there was a train. Hing, who was that in
X-Kaiser? Ultra Rakers.
Ultra Raker.
Original symmetrical dockers.
Yeah, and then you had the.
The bombers.
Chora Eugen in Gal Gaigar. Then in Transformers, we see Energon Omega Supreme was a symmetrical docker. And then in Transformers Animated, Jetfire and Jetstorm. Or is it Storm Jet? They were symmetrical dockers. So that's an example of something that we saw in Brave series first that actually carried over to Transformers. Is there anything that you see from other other lines that actually influenced Transformers in Japan, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, from the beginning, I mean, when you go back to, you know, 1982, you have the Diaclone line. That's what gave us essentially everything 84 and 85. But other than that, I mean, I'd really have to sit and think. But off the top of my head, no. You got something to bring up?
No, I don't. I just wanted to pick your brain on that particular subject. Tobias, do you have anything you want to ask?
No, sorry.
It is like 3 a.m., 3 or 4 a.m.
Yeah, it is. I'm really, really tired, so, yeah. Good excuse.
What about you, Brycey? Yeah. I think he lost up.
I don't think he lost him. He just, you know, he ain't gonna talk.
Faded out.
There we are.
There he is.
He's back. You have any questions for Travis?
I think I'm good.
How about you, Brett?
The only thing I wanted to ask you was, is I understand that you have a new show coming out or has been on, and I thought you might want to promote that. Go ahead.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Today actually was the season premiere of East Coast Antiques, which is kind of like season 1.5, I guess. A couple months ago, we ran Antiques Alley, which was just a show for Rhode Island PBS. They got great reviews. Everybody loved it. So PBS approached us and was like, let's make the show more marketable for people outside of Rhode Island. So we came with East Coast Antiques. And right now, on the premiere tonight, it was in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. Once we get to episode 3 in Rhode Island, it will start to air in other states, I believe, through smaller syndicates of PBS. And then the goal is that by the end of this season, we'll be nationally throughout PBS going through Boston, WGBH. So it's slowly growing, but there is growth. So soon, Brett, it will be in your area.
And there is currently
my little bitty area in Kentucky where everything comes 5 years afterwards. I understand. Now, question is, on that show, does it I mean, it's antiques, but do you dip into the toys, the 80s and 70 toys that we all love?
Yep. So far, actually, I can give a little sneak peek if you get to catch it on Facebook. There's one character in the show who I have a conflict with, Jolie. She was brought into the show to be my manager because I'm always, you know, erratic playing with toys. And a 2004 Chinese reproduction of a G1 Optimus Prime is going to slide through Antiques Alley, which is, you know, the place where we buy everything. That's the, you know, the fake, well, not fake, but, you know, the fiction setting of the show. And basically she's going to buy it for some obscene amount of money, and then I get to save the day by saying, hey, you know, that's a fake reproduction. So you will see some Transformers action coming up in, I'd say, maybe 2 weeks. So even if you don't get the show, you can follow us on Facebook. Just search East Coast Antiques and Antiques Alley.
Actually, there is an episode on YouTube right now, too.
Oh, is there?
Yes.
Look at that. I don't even know that. Good job.
Well, there you go. My follow-up question is, if you're going to, you know, go along those lines, do you think that you'll be able to dip into explaining to people how something that you can tell is legitimate vintage as opposed to knockoff, as opposed to reproduction or reissue? Something that people can look at that and go, oh, I need to look at mine, and I can tell what I have based upon your show.
Oh, yeah. We're actually filming the full entire segment this Sunday, the final B-roll we need to get as well. And I'm going to go into everything from measuring the gray border on a fake Mirage to, you know, counting the squares to the location of the character art to paper consistency, styrofoam consistency, tape width, you know, comparing the Chinese reproduction tape to the Takara tape. I'm going to do it all. So it's going to be a very in-depth look.
So basically, what some people have had problems with like the previous show, Toy Hunter, to where they just like glossed over something. You're going to go into great detail to help people with their collecting and being able to identify what is a knockoff versus vintage and so on.
Absolutely. Because the goal of this show, you know, especially being on PBS, it's not to show like, hey, watch me make money. It's let me educate you, the viewer. So when you go out into the real world and want to buy these toys, you know what to look for. And at the end of the day, for lack of a better term, you don't get screwed.
Outstanding. Now, see, to me, that would be something that's more interesting to those that are collecting as opposed to how much can I get for something or the old format. This is more of a informative. Let me make sure I know what I'm getting and be able to identify it. So I agree with that.
Yeah, and absolutely. Even if you can't catch a show, like I said, you can go on Facebook, even on Twitter. It's @ecoastantiques, and you can even follow my personal page, I'm always posting tips and tricks about, you know, toys and whatnot and collecting, and that's at Travis_Landry.
I do have a question from a live listener right now. Listener Mike Boyle asked on our Facebook group, how many toy shows do you usually go to in a year, and do you plan on attending any Transformers conventions in 2015?
I do, absolutely. I will be at BotCon this year. It is my first BotCon since 2009, and I will be set up with yours truly, Mega Toy Fan. We will be set up together, and I am excited. And I do go. I typically go to a lot of shows, whether it's for personal reasons or it's for filming. I'd say maybe upwards of like 20, 25 conventions a year. I do a lot of traveling.
Any particular ones that you can mention right now that you'll be at sure?
Absolutely. I was just at Rhode Island Comic Con filming for PBS. Super Mega Fest in Framingham filming. I will be going to C2E2 in Chicago. I plan on New York Comic Con again, BotCon, TFCon, and then a lot of the local shows I go to, especially, you know, for filming in the New England area for PBS. That's where a lot of the traveling comes in. But personally, too, I will be at all the big shows.
Awesome.
All righty. Well, does anyone else have anything for our guest? Sure. Oh, it's fun. I'm looking. I don't see anything else. I really appreciate you, Travis, for joining us in our wonderful endeavor to bring forth that which is Transformer news and Transformer related to the mass media.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Transformers is the one thing I live and breathe, and absolutely love. So, yeah, thanks for having me, and I'd do it anytime. Just ask.
I'd like to invite you back anytime that you're available, that you'd like to drop in. Feel free to message me or Brett and let us know, hey, I got some information. Or, you know, it'd be cool if you come across any great Transformers stuff on the show that you would like to highlight. You come on here and point it out to us, and people could look for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll let you guys know.
All righty. Well, I'm going to go from left to right again. Bryce, do you have anything?
Good to go.
Chad, or are you just mute and stupid?
I'm mute, but I'm not stupid like you.
Okay, fair enough. Don?
I'm good. Glad to finally have got here after apparently the deers were out in the county and taking down internet lines and such.
Not Massey.
No, I don't have anything. Too late.
Anything?
I don't think he heard.
I always get it wrong. Is it Hang?
Hang, that's right.
Yeah. Hey. I thought I got it right, but then he didn't respond it. I was like, damn it, did I get it wrong again?
I don't really have anything, but good luck with your new show, actually, Travis.
Oh, thank you very much.
I hope it gets to Australia in some form.
Well, yeah, I mean, whoa, that's a huge leap for PBS we're talking, but
hey, anything's possible, right?
Yeah,
we had Toy Hunter. We had Toy Hunter for a bit. One of our channels picked up Toy Hunter, so
oh, there you go.
Not impossible.
No, who knows? You never know.
Alrighty. All right, Dermot, Aiden?
All I want to say is thank you for joining us, and I'll check you out anytime I can. I don't have a whole lot of time to watch television unless it's on Hulu or Netflix, but I do. I will check you out. Like I said, I do know there is one episode that's on YouTube, and I hope that somebody will be able to put more episodes up there. And make it more accessible to everyone. That'd be awesome. And I'll definitely check you out on there.
Awesome. Yeah, not a problem. I can work on that for you.
Awesome.
Outstanding. Alrighty. Well, the last thing I wanted to say was to Travis, with your show, if you continue to highlight the areas in which, you know, collectors want to see, i.e. differences, what's out there new, this, that, and the other, and with an antique show like you have, I see you hitting the points that will fit within your guidelines and will also help us. I think you're going to go far. I really believe that the community is going to look at that as an asset and something that will help them with their collecting habits.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I can't wait to see what the response was after tonight's episode. Hopefully the views were doubled from our season finale a couple months ago, because there has been a lot of press about it. So, so far we have been receiving a good response, especially for the screenings we did earlier. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. It's going to be a fun ride, I'll tell you that.
Sweet, sweet. Well, like we said, we wish you the best in your show, and we hope to hear more from you. And I think that's going to be it for this episode of TFYLP. I am Megamus, and I thank you for stopping by.
Awesome. Enjoy. Thank you very much, guys.
Anyone else want to say goodbye? Say goodbye.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. It was a pleasure.
Everyone's talking, so bye-bye now.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.